From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with a quick look at your local and statewide news. Alaska, like the rest of the nation, has a shortage of healthcare workers. In Juneau, care facilities have found a local solution to that problem. They're paying people to get certified as nursing assistants. Wildflower Court, a nursing home in Juneau, closed an entire wing of its facility in early October because it doesn't have enough staff to operate it. Kirk Elmore, the nursing home's administrator, says he would need to hire 11 certified nursing assistants, or CNAs, to open back up. But because of a national health worker shortage, he can't find them. So Elmore teamed up with Bartlett Regional Hospital, where they're training new staff from the community. And he's paying people to get certified.
We're providing them an hourly wage as they're taking the class. We pay for the class, and we also pay for their licensing with a commitment for them to come and work for us after they finish the coursework.
He says it's an upfront investment for Wildflower Court, but it's worth it. He gets to give staff that may already be employed with him a leg up to a better job. And he says the investment stays in the community. He says that's a contrast to paying higher wages and fees for temporary traveling nurses. Bartlett Regional Hospital's Staff Development Director, Jennifer Twido, says the hospital has been fighting an uphill battle to keep nurses and CNAs. It's why they started to train their own.
Juneau, it's hard to recruit people into Juneau sometimes.
But just 18 hours after she posted the training offer, she says she had more local applicants than she could handle. Twido says emergency regulations related to the pandemic make the program possible. Alaska usually has some of the most stringent requirements in the country for aspiring CNAs, but it's cut requirements in half, which is still in line with federal regulations. That expires at the end of the year. Twido says she's not sure yet if the program will continue after that. But the hospital has made the most of the window. Her staff has trained a dozen locals in the first two cohorts. She's got seven people signed up for another session in November.
We're creating like career pathways for so many people in Juneau who maybe wouldn't have an opportunity to get into the, maybe they can't get into the UAS program because it's always full. Maybe they don't have the means to travel outside of Juneau to go to another program.
One of those people is Marsham Pouton. She's working a shift on Bartlett Regional Hospital's third floor.
I waited for so long, and this is it. I grabbed the opportunity, a big opportunity.
Pouton was a midwife in the Philippines until she moved to Juneau 11 years ago. She tried to take the CNA training at the University of Alaska Southeast, but didn't pass the English exam. She found out about the opportunity at Bartlett because she was already working there in housekeeping.
For me, I start from the very low position, and then I go to a CNA training program, and I get the job, and it's very easy because I already know the building and other facilities, and they know me already, so it's a good blessings.
Pouton recently finished coursework and passed her CNA exam. The program has been a step up for several Bartlett employees. So far, only one Wildflower Court employee has gone through the training. But this month, there are four more signed up. It's not enough to reopen the closed wing, but it's a step in the right direction. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple. Fishing vessels cast wide nets, and they often catch more than the species they're targeting. That's bycatch, one of the longest-running controversies in the fleet and a vexing problem for fisheries managers. Now, the Dunleavy administration is wading into the debate by naming a task force to study the issue and find ways to make it better for everyone working on the water. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's office recently announced it's setting up a task force to tackle the thorny issue of bycatch. Federal data show trawl fisheries this year in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska have caught tens of thousands of Chinook salmon, millions of pounds of halibut, and in the case of the Bering Sea trawl fisheries, hundreds of thousands of crabs. Stocks of staple species like Chinook salmon, red keen crab, and halibut have been on the decline, forcing subsistence sport and commercial fishermen to pack up nets or reduce harvest. Alaska Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Ling says his boss has taken notice.
I think the governor was hearing loud and clear that there was just a lot of noise around the issue of bycatch, and I think he wanted to get Alaskans together to discuss what the issue is, what we know about it, what we don't know about it, and identify, you know, different strategies that we all could take to try to reduce bycatch or manage bycatch better to hopefully have sustainable fisheries over time. And that may not necessarily result in a reduction. I think it's how you manage bycatch moving forward.
Most bycatch happens in federal waters beyond the 3-mile line, but it does occur in state fisheries too. Why convene a state task force when it's a primarily federal fishery management issue?
Many of the people that are involved with bycatch are Alaskan-based fishermen, so we know that they have a lot of expertise and information that they can bring to the table, and maybe fresh ideas will emerge about how to better manage bycatch in the future.
The executive order establishing the task force says its goal is to study the impacts of bycatch on what it calls high-value state fisheries, recommend policies based on that impact, advise state agencies how to better use resources to address bycatch, and use science to inform policymakers and the public about how bycatch is felt in Alaska fisheries. Vincent Lang says that designation of high value is meant to be a more expansive metric than simple cash value.
Communities in terms of jobs and collateral benefits of the value back from collected fish taxes to those communities. It could have a high value for food security. It could have a high value for cultural purposes.
The task force will be made up of 13 voting members, all appointed by the governor from a pool of applicants, and 2 non-voting members from the state legislature, nominated by the leadership of the House and Senate. The chair and vice chair of the task force aren't set yet. They'll be selected by the governor once the voting seats are filled. Representation on the task force is meant to capture a sample size swath of Alaska fishing interests. That means seats for state administration officials, various fisheries, Alaska Native organizations, and the general public. But bycatch critics warned that its effectiveness will depend on its composition.
That task force initiative is definitely welcome, and it shows a level of commitment from the governor's office, which we've rarely seen.
David Bays is a longtime sport charter business owner in Homer. He's also an online activist of sorts, moderating a lively Facebook group called Stop Alaskan Trawler Bycatch that has more than 15,000 people signed up.
We've seen a lot of times, especially at the NPFMC, that undercurrents of the trawl industry run pretty deep in Alaska commerce and politics.
He's talking about the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which has been criticized for giving too much clout to big money industry trawlers who are responsible for much of Alaska's bycatch.
One of the named seats or positioned on there is a representative from the NPFMC. And, you know, a big question to me is the purpose of that representative going to be to facilitate the task force access to raw council data? Or is that person acting as a representative of the Department of Commerce, you know? And there's also a trawl rep on there. And again, it's kind of this question of, are they speaking towards conventions and practicability in the industry, or are they going to try and derail the conversation by saying it's all a facade, you know, or something that we shouldn't worry about in the first place?
For his part, Bays says he's planning to apply for a seat on the governor's task force. He says he's optimistic that this could be a new opportunity for fisheries users to have a voice. Vincent Lang says the Dunleavy administration hopes that the bycatch task force will have an impact on federal fisheries management.
I have a seat on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Hopefully the information we collect will be used to inform federal decision-making, council decision-making regarding bycatch moving forward.
But he also says bycatch in state waters deserves scrutiny. Ideas that come out of the task force could include topics needing research moving forward, which could in turn inform decisions at the State Board of Fisheries or within the administration.
We're just trying to get people together to talk about the issue so there's a better understanding of what the fundamental issues are of surrounding bycatch, and maybe have some fresh ideas of what can be done to better manage it moving forward, both at a state and federal level.
The bycatch task force won't have funding to allocate towards research, but Vincent Lang says it's a piece of the puzzle that will come once it issues its recommendations to state and federal policymakers next year. It's up against the deadline of November 2022 when it will be dissolved.
Funding, it will probably be some joint effort between industries associated with bycatch, users, as well as state and federal efforts. But before we identify the money for it, we need to identify what it is we want to do.
Vincent Lang says he hopes the administration can convene the group early next year to meet on a monthly basis, as outlined in the governor's order. The governor's office is accepting applications to serve on its new bycatch task force until December 3rd. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.